Welcome to iVow, where we promote the voices of women through their stories. The mission of Voices of Women is to produce and support local and global educational programs that uplift and empower women and children. I'm your host, Jenny Prisk, and today our guest is Darlene Shiley, a prominent San Diego philanthropist who is a vital voice in the worlds of healthcare, the arts, and education. She has significantly benefited the University of San Diego, UC San Diego, and San Diego State University. She is indeed a woman of philanthropy. Welcome, Darlene. We're delighted to have you as our first guest on iVow.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate it.
So we'd like you to think back on your life. Now, I know at this stage you're only 29. However, was there a significant event or did someone come into your life who shaped the giving that you do today?
I think anyone's life is a compilation of the things and the people that happen to them as they go along. I think probably the most important person in my life was my mother, and I hate to be so plebeian about it, but she really was. I'll talk a little bit about her more later, but the other one was a teacher in high school, actually junior high school, who saw that I was from a family. I had an alcoholic stepfather who thought that smacking mom and me around was great fun, and she saw that something was wrong and got me involved in theater. And I swear to this day, I don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for her. She brought me out. I tell people I was a wallflower when I was younger, and they go, yeah, sure you were. But I was. It was a different kind of life. So, and then, of course, the biggest impact on me would have to have been my most beloved late husband, Donald. I think I'm a much better person for having been married to him. I'm one of those people who thinks that I don't look at a man as completing me. I figured I would come into a relationship as a person, and I would come to be with another whole person, and together the sum would be greater than the parts. I don't believe in that completing sort of thing. I don't think you're half a person until you meet a man and get married, let's put it that way. And for me, Donald was the right one, and I think, you know, when you talk about women who significantly impact you, going back to my mom for a second, she told me some remarkable things along the line that at the time just, I thought, yeah, sure, Mom, uh-huh. But one of the things she told, well, first of all, she was terrific at the work ethic. She worked her fanny off, you know, for me. I was, an only child. She understood that you had to work hard to get what you wanted. She understood the importance of saving for what you wanted. She was, anyone who's over the age of 50 will remember, blue chip stamps and green stamps and layaway. I understand they're bringing layaway back now. Which I think is a good idea. But the idea was you kept paying off on it until you could afford to bring it home. And I haven't forgotten that. But I think for me, one of the best things was, she said, you've got to wait for the right one. Mm-hmm. I said, the right one, what do you mean, Mom? And she says, the right man. She said, you need the right man. You've got to wait for him. Now, back in the 70s, when you were single and in the 20s, that was like, I think we called that old maidhood or something like. And when I got to be 28, I asked I remember asking her, say, Mom, any chance that I missed him? That he came walking by. And I missed him. And she says, no, you'll know. You've got to believe me, you'll know. And I said, all due respect, Mom, you haven't been very good at this yourself. So why should I be any better? And because my mother thought I was the earth, the moon, and the stars, she says, well, she said, you're smarter than I am. You're more charismatic. You'll know.
And you did.
And I'm telling you, it was like... Yes. It's like a ton of bricks falling over. And I thought, oh, wow, she's right. Mm-hmm. He didn't walk by. I didn't miss him. He's here. And I was the better for it.
Yes. And you met him in a theater. I understand. Yes, he came to see you.
Yeah, we had met briefly in passing at a friend's. But he came. I was starring in Lion in Winter. And he sat through it. I, of course, was playing the lead. What other role would I be playing but the lead? And I was good. And I knew I was good. Mm-hmm. And so that when people tell you, oh, you were so great, that's good as long as you know you were. But when you know you weren't, then you don't care what they have to say. That sounds a little harsh, but I when
understand.
You've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit it off beautiful. I thought we hit it off magnificently. I thought, hey, we got some clicking going on here. He waited 6 months to ask me out. 6 months. I could have been dead or married to somebody else. But he waited because I asked him a couple of years later. I said, why did you wait so long to ask me out? He says, I was afraid. I said, afraid of what? He said, I was afraid you'd say no. And I wouldn't have another chance. And I, of course, replied, well, you idiot. We could have had another 6 months together and you blew it. But it's all right. It worked. Gee, it worked out. Being married 32 years in today's world, when you're together 24/7, I think, you know, I used to say in doggy years, I think that means we've been married, you know, 60, 70 years or something.
It's a wonderful long time.
It is.
Now, I remember reading in an interview about you that your grandmother had an impact on your life.
Oh, dear, dear grandma. Brazilian grandma,
Brazilian.
I swear. Oh, as I like to say, my favorite thing, Dallas Clark used to talk about, you know, the three W's, work, wealth, and wisdom in a board member that you look for. I've adapted the three W's. I am a woman, I am a woman of color, and I am a woman of wealth. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the trifecta in board directorships. You want to be finding that woman right now, and you know what I'm talking about. It's, you know, it's highly, you know, highly prized. But Grandma didn't speak very much English, but she was the one who made sure that everyone understood it's English. We came here for a better life. They came here legally. They fought their way to get here, and they believed that that it was important to hold that line, you know, to be, if you want to be an American, if you want to be here, then embrace it and be that. Mm-hmm. And I was the first, you know, I was the first kid of any of them to go to college, which I thought was, you know, pretty terrific, and the family did. But Grandma had what we call the mirror test. She says, you know, when you get ready for bed at night, you look in the mirror, you see who's looking back at you, and if you don't like what you're seeing, if you ask yourself, did I do something good today, and you can't say yes, then you better try a little bit harder the next day. And I just kind of called that the mirror test, and I live by that. Mm-hmm. It's a little harder to look at myself in the mirror now at night. And, you know, you put the dental guard in, you put the boot on for your plantar fasciitis, you strap, I'm just sorry. I mean, sometimes it gets a little gruesome when you get to be this old.
Aging is not for the faint-hearted.
No. I thought I was in pretty good shape, and about a year ago it was like the wheels came off. So it's all right, I'm still standing up.
You still look pretty good to me.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you do. Looking at the world as it is today, what advice would you give to girls today? I mean, there might even be a story of a woman, a young woman, or a girl who you know who's perhaps been transformed by education.
It's all about education. It always has been. It always will be. I don't care what anyone tells anyone else. It's all about education. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to a name school. I mean, I qualified for Stanford. We could no more have afforded to send me to Stanford than, oh, I mean, to the local, you know, dairy, for heaven's sakes. I went to San Jose State. I got a great education. And apparently well enough that I managed to attract a brilliant heart valve inventor. He was not the kind of guy who'd be interested in a dipstick. So I figure I did all right from that standpoint. But not everything follows that. Everything, mm-hmm. The kind of job that you get, the kind of person you are. But it doesn't. There's a group I understand now of unfortunately women who think, oh, well, if I go to a she school, that's going to be better. And so I know the case of a gal who was offered a full scholarship to a local university, stupendous university, full scholarship, everything. She decided, no, I want to go to blah, blah on the East Coast. Okay, family couldn't afford it. She had to take out loans. She picked I wouldn't say green job, but she picked a job that she knew wasn't going to pay very much. So what is she doing now? She's carrying on and screaming and yelling about all these loans she has, and, gee, she's only making $30,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Well, idiot child, what did you expect? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you're going to do that, it's one thing that is sadly missing, whether it's male or female, and it's going to be up to we women, I think, to revitalize it, is accountability. Mm-hmm. You take responsibility for what you do and for what you don't do. And I think that's why, you know, for me, it's you know, you ask yourself, what would I tell another woman? What would I tell a young girl? And I think for me, it would be to always seek solutions. Do not ever, ever let anyone convince you, well, that's just the way it is. No, it's not. It can be different, but it takes you to do it. I did it. There are a lot of things that I did that people thought I couldn't do. And I got to tell you, I'm not a genius, so if I can pull it off, you know, almost anybody can. But I'm tenacious and I'm persistent. And sometimes I, you know, come off as a little fluffy because I occasionally have a sense of humor. But beneath that fluff beats the heart of a steel magnolia.
Oh, I like it.
Yes,
oh,
steel
yes.
magnolia.
Yes.
And I haven't been down the South for very long, but when I get down there, I'm good. What else would you like to know about me, Jenny?
Well, this is wonderful. And I'm now going to quote you. Because
okay.
I know now, this is always your life coming back to look you right in
the
face.
Oh, I hope I really said this. Okay.
Oh, you did, I believe. It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh.
You once said, and I quote, "Whoever told you that you have to take me to lunch or dinner or to a building site to get the message is underestimating my abilities." So, as a woman, have you always been treated fairly and equitably?
I refuse to answer on the ground. No, I'm... The answer to that was, gee, I wish I could say yes, but I haven't. Now, I'm very much aware that there are times, even now, where I'm sitting in a room, and I'm one of very few women sitting at a table. I used to take great umbrage at that, and then I decided, okay, if you're there, well, then make good use of the time. And so I've become a very, very good board member. Now, initially, I was there because my husband had money. They couldn't get him on the board, so it was like, okay, well, we'll take the wife. I've heard this said in you know, in meetings nowadays. Okay, well, Sam won't do it. Let's see if Sally will. And so I took it as my job to show them I was worthy of being there on my own. But I have to tell you, Jenny, when I was in the work world, as I said, back when dinosaurs were on the earth, I mean, it'd be things. I was working at a TV station. I got a job that I didn't go to for. Because he said, I think you're too well educated for this. He said, but our promotion man, our public service director just quit this morning. Would you be interested in that? And going on the basis of get your foot in the door, I said, of course I would. It's like when you ask an actress, can you dance and roller skate? And all you can do is sing, and you say, well, yes, of course I can. And then you go out and you take lessons right away to do the two things that you can't. And by doing that, he came to see me as working hard, being accomplished. And at a certain point, he said, Darlene, you've gone as far as you can go here. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I think you have your eye on a higher management position. And I said, well, I'd be pretty dumb if I didn't, wouldn't I? And he says, well, he said, I know, but he said, it's not going to be here. I said, wow, well, then I'd be kind of dumb to stay here. Now, remember, this is back in 1970. You could never get away with this today. Absolutely not. You know, so I made my way to something else. But there were job interviews. I interviewed with a developer, kind of a strange short fellow. but it was an interesting, not to say that all short fellows are strange, Jenny. That's not what I'm saying. This guy was. But at the conclusion of the interview, which I thought had gone very well, I reached over, we shook hands, and then he leaned over and kissed me on the chest. I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to be working, oh yes, working for this fellow. And then my personal favorite was I was thinking about going to law school. But at the time, I didn't realize that I was Brazilian and a flaming Latina, and I probably could have gotten a full scholarship, but silly me, I just went in as a regular person, I guess. Anyway, so I interviewed with this lawyer up in Nevada, and the interview went really well, and he says, well, should we go up to your room? And I thought, no, we shan't, and I'm not getting this job either. So, you know, there are things, and I certainly hope that sort of thing doesn't happen now, but I fear that, you know, perhaps it does, but you've got to tough your way through it, and you don't have to get a job that way. You don't have to do anything that way. I believe that, I live that, and I'm here to talk about it.
Just want to go back to those boardrooms for a moment. Mm. Nowadays, now that you have served on a number of boards, are you more accepted now as Darlene Shiley and you're not there because you're Mrs. Donald Shiley?
Finally, yes. I mean, I have served as the chair of the board of the University of San Diego, the only full-term serving female board chair. I sit on the board of the University of Portland. I've sat on a variety of boards. I'm currently vice chair of the Salk Institute board. These are not things that you do just because you happen to, you know, get off the pickle boat early. And I've worked hard to be well-regarded from that standpoint. It's kind of, I guess, my earmark is if you're going to vote for something, I'm going to be the one that puts the facts on the table. And if you know the facts and you still vote that way, then later on you can't come back and say, oh, I didn't know that. I voted that way because I didn't know that. At least with me in the room, you're going to know. You're going to know whatever I know and what you know, I know, we know, everyone knows, and you still vote that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of that. I think I've become a very, very good board member. And I think I'm now sought after, not just because, of course, the money. I understand that. I get that. But I think also I bring something else to the table. And I'm not afraid to say, excuse me, I don't see many other women sitting around the table.
Good.
You know, the most famous one was trying to explain to the University of Portland, that's a Catholic Holy Cross university, the importance of what we were going to do with the Shiley Hall, what they wanted to do. And I had said, no, I don't like the design. You don't just attach something to it. It has to come from inside the building and up and out of it. And especially if it's going to be my husband's name, we're not just attaching a glass cube to it. And I walk into the room, it's all men, and like two-thirds of them were priests. That was a little daunting. But then I'm very naughty when it comes to priests because there's something about me that just gets really bad. I don't know what it is. I apologize to everyone in the listening audience. I mean, I don't do anything to them, just so you know. I mean, I just, you know, say things sometimes. You know, and then there was one gal taking notes, and I thought, well, this is going to be a tough afternoon here, sports fans. But I made the point, and as a result, Shiley Hall is one of, I think, only five university buildings that are platinum LEED certified.
Yes.
And for renovation, that's absolutely unprecedented. And I'm very, very proud of that, and that it carries my husband's name, because I saw to it that it did.
And those priests must have listened to you.
I do believe they did. I think they still are, just doing a little bit some, because I was happy enough. So one thing about, you know, giving, I look for, and I think it's particularly important for women, look for the reasons that you're doing something. And if you like the experience, if it works well, stick with it. Stick with whatever it is. I funded the building. I liked what they did, and so I went back and funded the School of Engineering, the Dahlen P. Shiley School of Engineering, and it's been good. It's been good. I've been up there to see the kids present their projects. Some fascinating. They were doing this robotic thing, some Mars robotic thing, and they were talking about we're going to take it to the Kennedy Space Center, but you know we can't all go along. And I said, well, why can't you all go? And they said, well, we haven't quite raised enough money. And I said, well, that's pretty silly. So I got out the checkbook and I wrote them a check. I said, everybody goes. You all worked on it. Everybody goes. And that's the advantage you have when you're in the room. Those are the things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good.
Do women look at money differently from men in the world of philanthropy?
Possibly, because I think even though Donald, you know, would always say it's our money, my husband, he made the money. My job was to help him spend it, because when we married, it was always, which we ladies are fairly decent at, but I mean actually to give it away. His plan was all, way before Gates and everybody else said, oh, we're going to give away part of everything. In 1978, Donald said, when we pass, all of our money, except that which is in a separate trust for the kids, goes to charity. And I said, well, that's good, but can't we do some now? So that we can see how these groups handle it. And he said, it's a great idea. You do that. Now, those were the most fateful words ever spoken in our marriage. That's great. You do it. It's like Mike, you know, remember the cereal commercial, let Mikey do it? Well, you know, this was let Vicky do it, which is my middle name. But, yeah, I do think we look at it differently. Because in my case, I don't feel that I earned it. But I feel that I have earned the right to be the steward of it. And Donald felt that way. He left me in charge of everything. And it was not insignificant, and it's been an enormous burden because I'm doing it, you know, without him.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel so good to be without him.
It's 3 years this July,
yeah, yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you would think, you know, they say there are stages that you go through. I apparently must be the stupidest brick in the bunch because I keep repeating some of the stages. I can't seem, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, then I do 2, then maybe I drop back to 1, then I go to 5. I'm not sure that you ever I don't know. I think when you're deeply in love, I mean, what does they say? Swan. There are animals, certain animals that mate for life. Mm-hmm. I think Dahl and I were swans, and I had a really good run at it, and I'm good with that.
And it also says you're deeply human.
I suppose there are some people who would dispute that. I do believe there are some people who think I'm not human, but I am. I'm really basically very delightful.
Right.
But I don't think you can ever, you know, if I had to have a takeaway from the conversation, it would probably be something along the lines of don't ever sit back and let everything pass you by. You can't grab onto everything, but you got to reach out there and grab as much as you can and do well with it. I'm a, you know, a Virgo sort of person. I don't want to just slop along. I want to, you know, do good things when I'm doing it. But it, I was thinking about that thought. And I also don't think that you have to be abrasive. Aggressive, yes, but not abrasive mm-hmm. to get things done. A priest once told me you can get a lot more done with honey than you can, you know, with the sour items. I try to remember that, but I think basically I want people to say, okay, it's important to engage, to interact, to do the things that you can do, try some of the other ones, but don't ever, ever give up. Always keep at it. And I did that in my life, and I certainly did that in trying to extend Donald's every way that I could think of.
That you could.
And I think I did a pretty good, at least I can sit here and say there isn't anything I didn't try. I semi-joked to someone, you know, if I had thought Osama bin Laden had something that would save my husband, I would have found him, gotten it, and then I would have killed him. We wouldn't have needed the SEALs. If they just sent me over, everything would have been fine. I would have, you know, but he didn't have it, so I didn't care how he went, as long as he went. Okay, so I'm a little irreverent. What can I tell you?
Well, but you're speaking from your heart, and it's very honest. I'm going to quote you again, because quoting you seems to bring out a really good story from you.
Ooh, okay.
So once you said, and I love this, everyone, every student, every person who enjoys medical miracles or artistic endeavors or improvement in life should understand that the money for that came from someone, and that someone who doesn't know you cares enough to make your life better, safer, and more fulfilling. Now, I'm going to ask you to take an enormous stretch, because I know you're nowhere near this number, but I'm going to ask you to take a look at your 90-year-old self. So I know it's a
closer
long
than
way off. And ask you what she might say that she wants you to do now for yourself or for other women that perhaps you haven't had the time or the opportunity to do already?
See, you asked me that at a time when I don't know what to do for myself, which is part of my problem at the moment. When you are in the process of I'm being really honest here. When you're in the process of redefining yourself, sometimes you have to take a couple of steps way back. This sounds like the chicken approach, but I'm about to take a self-imposed sabbatical. I'm going to let people know that the Shiley Foundation is not going to be funding, unsolicited proposals for about 6 months until I can get myself together so that I know exactly what it is I'm doing. I don't want to make any mistakes. I'm not big on mistakes. I'm not big on surprises either. And should I be able to still talk at the age of 90? Should I still be here at the age of 90? I think it really goes back to the solutions, to the action. I want to know that every day that I live, and maybe to Grandma, every day that I live, I have truly made something happen. Not necessarily for me, but if you enhance those around you, I think it comes back to you, doesn't it? I mean, I think if I reach out, there have been students that I've helped put through school. You normally, that isn't philanthropic. That's just something you do as a life thing. A gal once sent us a letter, and Donald and I told him, I said, I think we should help her. And he said, and why do you think that? And I told him. We played this little game back and forth. And he says, well, I know pretty much why you would fund this. And I said, why is that? And he said, because it sounds like a letter you would have written. And I thought, well, isn't that an interesting thing to do? She went on to graduate from Georgetown and is doing magnificently well as a midwife in a medical career that she chose and fought hard for. So I guess, you know, when you look at it that way, it's still not, I know that you're asking a more introspective question. I honestly can't answer that one for myself, but I can say that for me, as other-directed as I am at this moment in time, that's what works for me. If I can see it working for someone else, take a kid who's maybe not being paid attention to and just call him out a little bit on it. Okay, Sally's doing this, Joey's doing this, and what are you doing? What do you think looks good? We just did that with a goddaughter of mine. Everybody else is talking about sports. She is one smart little cookie. And so I said, what about the zoo camp? You know, what about the survivors, you know, camp thing? And it has an art, you know, component. And she said, wow, Gma, short for grandmother. She said, wow, that sounds great. And I said, okay, well, let's do that then. I said, you come down, you stay at the, you know, at the condo, of, you know, for a week with your grandma, and we'll all go to the zoo together. Now, I have to admit, when I applied, the way that the paperwork came out, it looked like I had been enrolled in the zoo program. I was very concerned because this is for 12 to 18-year-olds. And I've got to tell you, you're trying to make me 90. I'm trying to get back to 18, and we're just not getting anywhere here in the middle. But yes, by being other-directed, I think you can take care of the inner things for you. By doing those things for someone else makes me feel better, and then I am empowered to do more.
You're always giving to other people, and I'm quite sure that not many people do this to Darlene Shiley.
Yes.
However, now this is going to be overwhelming for you.
Oh, man. I'm ready.
I'm going to give you $100.
We're in the money. Da-da-da. Okay.
But I do have a question.
Can I spend it all at once?
Yes.
Okay.
We hope you will.
Good. Okay.
We'd like our listeners to know how you might pass this $100 forward.
Handing over. Now.
Yes, handing over.
Whether
it's going to be perhaps to a woman, to a girl, to a cause, to someone, something that has impacted you or affected you, we've seen a need, and I'm saying pass this forward because we want to see what might happen to this $100.
Okay, you really, and I don't mean to be inconsiderate or not appreciative, but $100 can get you maybe 10 cups of coffee at Starbucks. You realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what I would do with the 100, now I'm always interested in the biggest bang for the buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would gather a whole bunch of girls together, preferably, no, not any particular age group, just 100 girls, and I will say girls, and ask each one of them what they would do with the $100. Why would they want it? Why should they get it? And what are they going to do with it? And then I would look for what I hoped was the most creative answer of them all, and she would get the 100. Now, I will tell you that I have done a similar sort of thing not too long ago, in which a bunch of people, you know, that we're going to give away $1,000, and they said, okay, which organization would you give it to? And 17 different tables said I'd give it to blah, blah, blah. Well, at the end of the evening, I thought, well, why don't we just give it to all of them? So instead of 1,000, they gave 17,000 because I made up the difference. Now, I could do that a lot easier with $100 than it cost me that night, because that was a tough night out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by, again, turning it back outside, let them tell you why. Why is it important? And that's what I would do with your $100, Jenny. So I'm really glad you gave it to me.
Excellent. And we're very happy with the answer that you
good,
gave.
Good,
that is
good.
A great answer. So finally, what would you like our listeners to learn from you or do following this conversation today? How would you like to close, and what would you like to leave our listeners with?
I like to think that whenever anybody hears me speak, whatever the topic is, whatever I have to say, that they come away saying, that's a woman who speaks from the heart, who speaks the truth as she knows it. And most people will say, and I can hear the love you have for your husband. Now, if I can do that every time I open my mouth and say something, then I think I've accomplished a great deal. But I want people to know that there's so many people who think that folks who have money are maybe not as nice as other people or whatever. I want people to know that there are some of us who, because of really hard work, are in a position to make things so much better. I mean, I've created engineering schools. I've created buildings. And I'm glad about it. And I want people to share the happiness of that and know that it really comes from inside. And I want them to know that it's there, because I understand that you have to do something a little more globally. You just can't always be so introspective that you lose sight of the bigger picture. I could sit around a country club and play golf every day and do whatever. Well, no, not the way I play golf. But, I mean, you know, if I could play golf, I could do that. But I don't want to do that. And I don't fault people who do it. But to me, it's important that folks know there are those of us who really give a damn, and we're out there trying to, I mean, I know it's a trite phrase, but make a difference. I swear, maybe try. It's a cliche because it's true. It's true all the time. Because what else is there if you don't make some sort of an impact? That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, Darlene Shiley, you're certainly a voice for positive change. And we appreciate you being our first guest on iVow. And we appreciate you for all you do to transform lives through education and many other arenas also, but so much so in education. And we thank our listeners, and we invite you to go online to www.voicesofwomen.org and pledge your support to perhaps 100 girls and what you may be able to do for them with your $100. Next month, we will tell you how much we raised together, or where that money went and what it did. And you will also hear more stories from women from all walks of life. Maya Angelou once said, "Words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning." We invite you to use your voice to let your heart speak. Thank you.